Steve Barkley Ponders Out Loud is sponsored by the AAIE Institute for International School Leadership. Preparing educators for the unique challenge of international school leadership through online courses led by international school leaders. Learn more at aaieinstitute.org.
Hello and welcome to the Steve Barkley Ponders Out Loud podcast. For the last 35 years, I've had the opportunity to learn with educators at all levels, both nationally and internationally. In each of the coming episodes, I'll explore my thoughts and my learning on a variety of topics connected to teaching, learning, and leading. Thanks for listening in.
Planning Backwards, Goals and Evidence. This podcast was recorded while I was working with teacher and administrator leaders in Douglas County School District in Colorado. As you listen, consider your plans and how you will work backwards from the desired student outcomes in learning that you want through the necessary student, teacher, and leadership behaviors.
So this is the model that I use whether I'm working with an individual teacher in his or her classroom. So if I'm coaching a teacher one-on-one, it's all about getting a clear picture of what does that teacher want to make happen from a student achievement vantage point, and then backing up to understand what do kids have to do in order to make that happen. So the big piece that I pushed out there during the summer was my recognition that teachers do not cause student achievement. Students cause student achievement. Okay. It's not the teaching that I do that causes you to advance. It's how my teaching causes you to do something. And that's what causes the growth to happen. So at every planning stage, I have to be able to identify what it is that students do that would lead them to internalize the learning, develop the skill, reach the attitudes that we wanted kids to gain. And so the phrase that I finally came up with that for that was production behavior. What's the student production behavior? Because as soon as I talk to people about behaviors, they had a tendency to want to talk to me about what I called the outcome behavior. So if I'd meet with a teacher in a coaching session and I'd say to the teacher, what's the most important thing you need to have happen in class today? The teacher would say, I need the kids to understand. And as soon as the teacher hit that word understand, I'd call time out. Now, understand, that's the end. Okay, so kids are walking in the door not understanding. You want them to walk out the door understanding. So what I need to know is what will the students do that you believe will cause them to get to understanding? That's what the production behavior is. So if you're coaching an individual teacher, you're looking to uncover that. If you're working with a team of teachers in a professional learning community, that's the work the PLC is doing. Okay, here's the standard we're working on as a PLC. Okay, so as a PLC, what do we have to get the kids to do that's going to cause that outcome to be reached? Okay, with that plugged into my backwards process, then I'm ready to back up and say, okay, what are the teacher behaviors now most likely to get me those student behaviors? So knowing that I have to get kids to do many compare and contrast activities, what do I do as a teacher to cause kids to do that compare and contrast? Knowing that I need students to experiment and fail in order to develop the mindset that I want, what is it that I do as a teacher to generate the likelihood that kids will have those experiences? That's the teaching decision-making part. Now, working on this at the building level, you're then ready to go to the next stage and say, okay, what are we going to have happen in professional learning communities? What are we going to have happen in our peer coaching activities that will support teachers in bringing about those changes in teacher behavior that are going to cause the student behavior? So might my PLC decide that for kids to reach these math goals, we've got a whole bunch of different behaviors different kids need to be focused upon. And if I'm trying to cause that to happen in my own classroom, it's not likely to happen. But if the three of us teachers come together and we split kids up and we move kids around classrooms, that's how we can go about creating a structure that's going to make that happen. At the secondary level, it's for me, a lot of it is figuring out what do kids need to be experiencing across their courses that's going to reach those bigger outcomes that I'm looking to gain, because it's pretty hard to make them happen in individual isolated classes where the teacher and the students are focused in here. I need to find ways to get the students to focus out there. That's going to require my teachers to come together. I was just in a school where they're running an anatomy and a PE class together. So the two teachers and the students are working together. There's a reporting piece that says you're taking anatomy this half of the year and you're taking this phys ed class this half of the year, but actually you're doing the whole thing all the way across the year, because that's how we had to create a structure that it will allow the kids to stay at something long enough and deep enough and rich enough in order to get the student behaviors that we need to gain. And then part of your role here today then is to look at those leadership behaviors. So in the backwards planning process, we're going to get to the school administrators last in the planning process. But then the leadership, both teacher leaders and administrative leaders, end up going first, because they're the group then that kicks off the process that's continually checking in. Your measurement then is always looking at the step next to the one that you're working on. Okay, so if you come in here and you look at leadership and PLCs, you identify what's the change we need in teacher behavior. So now our measurement when we're going into classrooms and observing is, are we seeing that change in teacher behavior? Okay. What I frequently find is that people will come up with a plan and then they implement their program, and then in May they get out the test scores to see whether or not their program was effective. So early in the year, we did this big math PD to change how teachers teach math, but nobody went into the classroom and observed whether or not teachers really changed their teaching behaviors. So then at the end of the year, when the scores aren't any different, we decide the program didn't work. Well, the reality is the program never got implemented. Okay? I was in places that brought in discovery science, only to find out in more than 50% of the classes, the kids weren't doing discovery science. Okay, we got teachers new curriculum, we got them new materials, but we didn't change the teacher behavior. Okay, within 4 weeks of following the training, they should have been able to document there were a group of teachers who weren't changing their behaviors, and it should have been back to, okay, what has to happen in leadership to bring about those changes? Now, after we know teachers are changing their behaviors, then we're ready to look. Are students changing their behaviors? Have the changes in teachers generated the change in students? If the change in teachers hasn't generated the change in students, it's back to the drawing board. Something else has to happen. We created silent, sustained reading blocks of time because we know kids reading for that. That's great. Okay, what do we got? Well, we got a group of kids who don't read during that time. So creating the block was insufficient to bring about the change in student behavior. You got to go back and make some changes. And then it's further down the road that we're now ready to look at student achievement and measure the outcomes we were looking for in kids to say, okay, the whole process has worked. Generally, people skipping a whole bunch of what's in the middle. Implement the program, wait for the results on the other end. What you want to be doing is collecting evidence all the time, and then the evidence is leading you, where should you go? So as a teacher, if I invite you into my classroom to observe, your observation is collecting evidence. So you might be collecting evidence by looking at my students at centers. And the evidence that you collect tells me that kids at centers aren't engaging in the student production behaviors I wanted the center to generate. So now that evidence coming back to me kicks me back to, as a teacher behavior, how do I have to redesign the centers? Or do I have to back up and teach kids center behaviors? Do I have to invest teacher time in explaining to a student why they're at a center? Does that make sense? So the evidence is what jumped me around. Okay, now I may get evidence in an assessment. We implemented the teacher behaviors and we got the student behaviors we wanted. And then we did an assessment and they didn't get it. So it's back to the drawing board. Evidently, we had the incorrect student behaviors. So we're going to try a different set of student behaviors that would lead to the learning. And now that's going to drive us. That's my new big word, is evidence. I started quite a while away getting away from data, and I'm finding the word evidence works better for me. Now, if data is your word, then data may be your evidence, okay? But for me, the evidence piece is much broader, okay? If I came and observed your staff during a faculty meeting, what evidence would I collect? If I sat in the staff lounge listening to teacher dialogue over lunch, what evidence would I collect? If I recorded PLC meetings, what evidence would I collect? If I listened to the kids out in the hallway between classes, what evidence would I collect? And how would that trigger me back into the process? So back to looking at, you know, go all the way back to your school mission and vision statement. I just wrote a blog. BarkleyPD.com is my website. Last week's blog was called "Using the Vision to Drive What You're Doing." Well, in order to do that, you have to take your vision and now break it down into evidence indicators. Okay, so if we had a vision statement that said kids are going to be lifelong learners as this end goal vision, what are evidence pieces we'd be looking for that would suggest to us we're moving in that direction? If we felt students need to have preparation to be a global citizen, you know, what evidence would we see that would suggest kids are headed in that way? And just as importantly, what evidence would cause us to go, ooh, let's go back to what are the goals you're setting for those students? Then that's your definition of student achievement. Let's take a look at all your students and let's set goals for the end of the year. You have a fifth grader who's 3 years behind in reading. Okay, what goal are you setting for that kid? A goal that says he's going to be reading on grade level doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So I need you to set a goal. And what I push teachers, I need to take the goal down to that principal. Okay, you know that kid who's reading 3 years behind? If he came up a year and three quarters this year, how would you feel about that? Okay, good. Because see, you're going to get a letter from the state that's going to say, I'm a failure, the kid's a failure. And what I hear you saying is, you're going to throw a party. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay? To me, that's where the clarity has to be. That's where the clarity has to be. I came into a school, high school math department, and they set a goal. What's the goal? 100% of our students will pass the end of course algebra test, state mandated Texas algebra test. I said, really? 100%? Okay. So tell me about your most struggling student. Well, he just moved to the country. He's never had any schooling, doesn't speak any English. Yeah. And it took me a while. They finally set a goal for the kid. What was the goal? He will spend a year in algebra, learn enough English and develop enough self-confidence that he will be able to take Algebra 1 over again next year. That's a very demanding goal. And I want the kid and the teacher in the school to celebrate that goal. Now you have to decide, are we setting the behavior goal as the precursor to the academic goal? Because as a teacher, I'm going to need to make a decision. And when do I make a decision leaning one way versus leaning the other way? I'm all the way back to that process. A student developing a new academic behavior, a new social behavior, is your student achievement. And now, in order for a kid to develop that, what are the production behaviors that are going to get the kid to that new engagement behavior? So you're saying is, I'm not going to be able to achieve this without back here bringing parents in. Now, when I'm asked where parents come in, usually for me, parents come in here, which is I'm asking the parent to help me get the desired student behavior. I'm not asking the parent to get the achievement. So if I need a student to spend more time engaged in a particular activity, I'm asking the parent to assist me in getting the student to spend the time in the activity. Sometimes having met the parent, I realize that's not where I'm going to spend any more of my time. Okay. But I can't dismiss the student. I've got to now look at alternative ways for a school to look at implementing the things that we have to make happen in order to get the student to engage in those behaviors that's going to produce the student learning outcome. Sometimes the teacher behavior is to invest my time with the parents. Okay. So as a school, we decide to put together, I'll give you an example. My partner Michelle's an assistant principal. She runs a parent workshop every month, pretty massive attendance in the mornings over coffee. And she invests a ton of time in prepping and delivering that workshop. Her reason is that parents making those changes greatly assist getting the changes that they're looking for in kids to bring about the outcomes that they want. But again, from time to time, she comes home and says, I don't think that parent's going to go here. I'm gonna have to look at another way of working with the kid. I mean, I'll give you one. Years ago, I was working with a school in Florida, large migrant population. And so we were struggling with kindergarten and first grade kids not having prerequisite reading stuff. And so the group of teachers came together and said that we've got to get parents to read to kids. Well, it didn't take you 2 seconds to realize people who are in the field 14 hours a day and have limited English aren't going to step in that role. Okay, so now we're back to, okay, kindergarten and first grade kids have to experience hearing reading. And so we finally put a program together where we hired fifth grade kids to read before school and after school to kids that came out of the migrant program. Put together a plan where fifth grade kids had to continually improve their reading in order to qualify for the job to get paid. And so we used it as a motivator on that end. But you weren't going to get the student achievement. Without kids listening to reading, you weren't going to get the student achievement you wanted. So you had to keep working until you could find a way that you could get them to engage in that listening piece. It's one of my reasons why I like problem-based learning, why I like live event learning. Generally, you can get kids to work harder, read material above what they would normally struggle through, work to solve a math problem beyond because it has some immediate real application of something that they're fired up about. Just the way your performing arts people do with musicians and athletes. But you're looking at that same thing coming back to a school.
As you develop your action plans to gain student learning outcomes, consider the evidence that you will be identifying along the way that tells you progress is being made. What evidence will you look for in leadership behaviors, teacher behaviors, and student behaviors that precede measuring the student learning outcomes. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, folks. I'd love to hear what you're pondering. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Barkley, or send me your questions and find my videos and blogs at barkleypd.com.